Welcome back to another episode of the Braun Body Health and Fitness Podcast. Joining me today is Brian Alsrue, Jeff Kriglick, and Greg Innocencio. The four of us are going to be discussing strongman training. So Brian, Jeff, and Greg all share a background of competitive strongman training, and we dive into how they got into strongman, what their training looks like, what they look for from a healthcare provider, and how you could get into strongman training yourself. I gotta admit, I was a little scared and a little uneasy when I started doing some of these different things like the yoke carry, but it is a lot of fun and I highly recommend you look into this style of training and maybe even sign up for a competition. This episode and all of the episodes in season 5 are sponsored by ISOFIT, my go-to for all things isometric training. For more on that, you can check the description below. Enjoy. Greg, Jeff, Brian, welcome to the podcast. Super excited to work with the three of you today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Ain't no
Appreciate it.
thing. Ain't no thing.
For people that might not be familiar with the three of you there and your background in strongman competition and strongman training, would you mind filling them in a little bit about who you are and all the amazing things that y'all do?
All right. So, hi, my name is Greg. I have competed. This is year 13 of competition. Started in novice and then went as a middleweight 231, then heavyweight, then all that fun stuff. Notable accomplishments. I've won Maryland Strongest Man as a middleweight and heavyweight, and then I've won Delaware Strongest Man as a novice middleweight, and I've been the two-time Delaware Strongest Man. I currently hold the USS United States Strongman Masters National Deadlift record. So we got, score on for the over 40 crowd, salt and pepper in my hair. It's been 13 years. Thankfully, I've avoided major injury, I'm still ugly.
All right, cool. So, I'm Jeff. Notable accomplishments. I've competed at least 25 times now, podium most of the time, competed in three national level shows and also the official strongman games in the 90 kilogram class. I won Maryland Strongest Man as a middleweight in 2019. And not to be outdone by Greg, but I still have a record that I went for back in 2018 for axle clean and press in the state of New York. And I'm stronger than that now, but I'm still glad that the record holds.
And then my name is Brian Alsrue. I am also a strongman competitor, pretty much at the 231 class my entire career, and then a little bit in the heavyweight when I got a little chunkier. Did really well for a lot of local shows. Competed nationally, I think, four times. I've been in the game for about 10 years. I started when I was 34 years old, had never touched a strongman implement. Week before, went and did my first show. Qualified for nationals and really thought I was going to be like a world champion at this because I did so well at like the local show and then just got like annihilated. And literally it's been a learning experience ever since. So, have owned a gym called Never State Athletics that has produced some pretty amazing athletes who, these guys have both trained there many times and Jeff has coached there with me. We've worked with adaptive people, world champions, all kinds of individuals. And, the whole thing was just very positive and very awesome. So, I've done better on that side than I ever have as far as competing.
Yeah, the three of you certainly are amazing and super impressive in the world of strongman. I think your deadlifts individually are stronger than my squat and deadlift combined. I really am like nothing compared to the three of you. You guys are very, very impressive and at the top of your game. And I think it's interesting how you all have kind of unique backstories and experiences as it relates to strongman that way. And I really want to know, what got you into strongman training and, what kept you in strongman training as well? What kept you involved in that? Because it's kind of a unique sport, unlike anything else. And I found from the like month or two I've done of it so far that it's a lot more challenging than I thought it would be. It's
All right, I guess I'll lead off here. We can all actually thank the show Barbecue Pitmasters on cable for my entry into Strongman. So before I went to PT school, which was fall of 2010, I trained 2.5 years of Muay Thai kickboxing. And then before I went to PT school, I had a, you know, had a fight, wanted to decide, or, you know, I wanted to do something really stupid before I did something really, we'll say, important. So did that, moved to the Eastern Shore from the Baltimore area, and then found out that there's no gyms over there that trained Muay Thai. So I was going to the gym. My wife and I were watching Barbecue Pitmasters. We saw that there was an episode of the Diamond State Championships out there in Dover. We looked it up, and it was like, oh, Delaware Strongest Man was held the same day. Hey, Greg, you should do that. Okay. So then I went to the gym that I went to, asked around, and a pro middleweight strongman, Andy Deck, was actually local here in Salisbury where I lived, hooked up with him, and he showed me the ropes, and he got me ready for my first couple competitions, and I was a training partner of his for a while. Stayed in it because I need something to do so that I don't feel so weak.
That's a great story, and ironically enough, mine started because of Salisbury as well. So I think we can all say, Greg, Brian, and maybe even you, Dan, like that we've seen strongman on ESPN back in the day when Mariusz Pudzianowski was winning every world title and looked like an absolute Cro-Magnon man with how many muscles he had on top of muscles. And then the polar opposite is you see the gargantuans like Zydrunas Savickas, who are over 400 pounds, and it's like, all right, this sport's really cool. It's really odd. They're lifting a lot of really strange things. This isn't your typical gym lift. But I'm not built like Mariusz, and I'm not over 400 pounds. But when I went to Salisbury, I got connected with Andy Deck and also a powerlifter extraordinaire, Mike Hudleski. They were my strength coaches because I played football there. And I wasn't great. A great college football player by any means necessary. Like, I loved the game, but I never saw the field. But strength training always fascinated me. I started when I was 12. I'm 32 now, and I still enjoy it. And that passion was further ignited when I saw Andy and Mike train. Now, I never trained with them. It was always like you would hear their crazy heavy metal blasting, or Andy blasting some of the flogging mollies with bagpipes and stuff. Oh, it was beautiful. But the thing was, Andy and Mike were training so intense, and they accomplished a heck of a lot. Andy was a pro strongman. Mike, I believe, was a gold medal powerlifter at one point. And I would kind of like watch in the corner of my eye, and they would definitely, you know, help me out a little bit extra because they saw I took the weight room really seriously. Well, fast forward a few years, I was just at home. I was working in the media industry, and I loved going to the gym. I loved training hard, but I didn't really have a purpose. So through the power of Instagram, when video limits were only 15 seconds, I met this guy, the Catman, Greg Innocencio. And we started DMing here and there because I noticed that, you know, like, obviously, you know, he was a middleweight competitor, so a little bit closer to my size. And I was just like, okay, like, you know, this guy seems really chill. He's really willing to help me out. And at the time, I had been going through like just some really awful mental stuff. And I was like, you know what? I need to find a new purpose. So at that point, sorry to get a little dark there, but I had to go there because that's my journey into strongman. So anyway, Greg was like, all right, let's go train. So we went to Coliseum Gym in Columbia. This was late 2015. And I believe a week or two after Maryland's Strongest Man, I could be wrong. So Greg was there, and Brian might not remember this, but Brian was there as well. So they were training circus dumbbell, and they were working on the terrible technique of putting the dumbbell next to your head with the big dog circus dumbbell. I think Brian and Greg both worked up to 200 that day, and I just looked at it, and I'm like, that looks really stupid, but it also looks really fun. So I can even remember the events that I trained that day. I trained circus dumbbell, deadlift, farmers, and then Atlas stones. And that day I loaded my first 300 pound Atlas stone, and I was immediately hooked. And it was funny because I kept talking with Greg. I'm like, this is a lot of fun, but I don't know, like, you know, if I'm going to be able to do this all the time because I don't have anything at my gym. So come to find out, he's like, just sign up for a competition. Signed up for a competition, and I could have gone into the novice division, but Greg was like, nah, you're ready, you should just go. And it was the best decision I could have made. I ended up podiuming. Nikolai, who coached at Never Say It along with me and Brian, he got second. And another competitor who is a really damn good 181, 198 guy, Faisal, he ended up winning that contest. And the thing was, like, everybody was super receptive. Everybody was willing to help you out, pick attempts, give you tips. And I'm like, this is a community, and I love this. And from that moment forward, I started buying equipment. And I started buying a lot of equipment because I wanted to train it at my own spot and then build a crew from there. So what was really cool is I was not only able to learn on the fly, but what I was learning, I was able to pass it on to other people. And I think that's what strongman's all about. And that's honestly what keeps me hooked, is it's such a different style of training and I've never been bored. And I'm convinced that I will probably be in the best shape of my life the rest of my life if I continue to train this way. And it's super functional.
That's very true. And what better strength coaches to have, man? That's
yeah.
That is awesome. That's incredible. I actually got into strongman because Mike Jenkins, who was a very, if you're from Maryland, like, you know Mike Jenkins because he made it on ESPN and was doing the strongman thing. And we were all like amazed, like, someone from our hometown was there. And I actually went to high school with Mike, and we went different places for college, and we came back and we're working the same gym. And Mike was doing the strongman thing. I was doing the MMA thing. And Mike was always like, you need to come do this strongman stuff. And I was always like, man, they're just big fat guys. Like, I don't want to be a big fat guy. That's not what I'm into. You know what I mean? Because they didn't understand the weight class stuff. So I always placated to him, was like, man, I'll do it someday. I'll do it someday. So fast forward like 4 years later, Mike is moving up and he's like number two, number three, like, in America, like, doing just awesome things. And we get a call on Thanksgiving morning that he is dead. And we were supposed to get together for a Christmas party, literally 2 weeks later. And instead of getting together for a Christmas party, we went to Mike's funeral. And it was pretty dramatic. And we're there. And like, kind of like Jeff said, like, you're looking at because at Mike's funeral, all the strongman competitors flew in from all over the world to be there for him and the family and stuff. And you saw this intensity in these guys, but also just good people who wanted to truly support each other, because there's no other reason to do the sport, right? There's no money in it. There's no glory, real glory in it. Like, it's for the athletes that take care of each other. And so I looked around and I was just in the church pew crying. And I'm like, I told him so many times I'd do it. And like, I was lying to him. I had no intention of really doing it. So I was like, I will do it. I will do one show, right? So I never touched a strongman in preliminary life. And it was the week before my first show in West Virginia. And I went up to Mike's old gym. Mike owned a gym, and his wife Carrie's there, who actually Carrie is Brian Shaw's wife now. And she showed me like what farmer sandals were. She was like, this is an Atlas stone, and all those types of things. And the next week I went and competed, and I was always into lifting, and I was an intense guy. I'm still an intense guy. And so I won that first competition in West Virginia and was like, I am going to crush at this sport. I don't know what I'm doing, but I am awesome. And then I went to nationals. I didn't really train for nationals or anything, right? I go to nationals. I'm asking people there. I'm like, hey, man, so this keg thing, how do we load a keg over a bar? That was one of the events. And so the guys are literally teaching me in the line at nationals, trying to help me out. And at that nationals, that was 2014. And I ran into Greg at that place randomly, because I literally had to look like I had no clue what I was doing. And I look at Greg, and Greg's looks like he could be a nice guy, right? So I walk up and I'm like, hey, man, like, ask a couple questions. I found out he's from Maryland. It turns out we're like the only two dudes from Maryland there. And like, we hit it off. We were friends. We ended up going to Maryland Strongest Man the like next 2 weeks later or something like that. And man, ever since that time, it's literally just been a community, because the MMA community is pretty cool, don't get me wrong. And like, powerlifters are cool. Everyone's cool to an extent, but strongmen literally will give you their shoes so that you can compete better, because they don't want to beat you at not your best. Just seeing how everyone supports everyone and everyone yells for each other. And like, it's just an incredible environment. And much like Jeff said there at the very end, like, for me, it's functionality. Like, I'm turning 44 this year and I don't care so much about my bench press, but I do care about being able to pick up a sandbag and move it over there, because that's functional to something like a box of books that I need to pick up and move up some steps or something. Like, you carry it the same way. And I just think for longevity, like, people need to do more strongman movements because they're just, they help with everyday life, whether it be carrying your groceries or picking up your kid out of a car seat. Like, everything that you do, it trains you to move things that do not want to be moved in really cumbersome positions.
Yeah, no, I love that point that you just brought up, Brian. And I mean, first off, thank you all for your openness and honesty and just, you know, everything that you've shared that way. It certainly sounds like strongman is very much a community-based type of training. And it's something that's not just about you, even though it's an individual competition. It's about something much bigger than yourself. And I think that's certainly one of the many reasons, as you mentioned, that people get hooked on it. It's very unique. And as you all mentioned too, it also never gets old. It's very challenging. There's always some new event or some new twist, or hey, maybe you've been training like, say, yoke carries on your back, and now your next competition is going to be Zercher yoke carry or something like that. There's always a new twist, and you never know what it's going to throw at you. And that's, to your point as well, kind of like life. You never know what is going to happen. Each day is going to be a little bit different. And strongman certainly seems like a great way to physically prepare for the never-ending challenges that life brings you. How do you go about structuring your training for strongman? You all mentioned that you kind of do things a little bit differently. So how do you structure your sessions? How do you prepare for competitions? Greg, do you even lift at all? Or
yeah, I don't lift, man. I don't even lift. Who knows? It's all magic. It's actually, you know, it's an inflatable muscle suit that I wear. That's actually just fat now. No, so structuring for me, because strongman has a lot of, I mean, we're not just doing like one rep maxes, right? You know, powerlifting, it's, you know, three attempts, three different lifts, so nine lifts, right? Now, we might have like a max rep, like deadlift at nationals is going to be max reps from the floor. We could have a car deadlift, side handles, which is a different kind of deadlift. We could have 13-inch axle deadlift, 18-inch axle deadlift. We have different things, right? We have different heights. And it's not always for a one rep max, could be max reps or something like that. We also have something like carrying events where it's either max distance, so we have to, you know, figure out how far we can move something, or we have a fixed distance and it's as fast as you can go, right? So going off of 1%, like 1 RM percentages is, you know, I'm not a huge fan of it for me. It may work with other people. I'll typically go based off of RPE. I know some folks don't like RPE, but it's kept me in the game for however long that I've been. Whether it's how fast I'm going, I can kind of gauge it, or how many reps based on that day. In strongman, if you're going for competition, you know ahead of time, probably like 12, 16, or sometimes more weeks ahead of time of what your events are, what your weights are, what the parameters of the events are, whether it's max, you know, max reps, one rep max, you know, what the implement is generally, and then go from there. So I'll typically go RPE, and then I'll typically do a press-centric day, a deadlift-centric day, an event day where a lot of my carrying and loading events occur, and then a fourth day, if I can make it, you know, with kids and stuff, any kind of assistance work that I can see that my body needs, because I definitely have some weak spots. I did have them back in the day. I have them now, but that's the day that I kind of shore up my weaknesses.
Strength is definitely a skill. And I think when you see something like strongman, you immediately think, oh, these guys are just kind of picking something up and moving it because they have a lot of brute force, which I'm not going to say that you don't need brute force and a little bit of mental toughness in order to do strongman. I mean, at the end of the day, you're not picking up something conventional more often than not. So when I think about that with my training, that's why I tend to lean a little bit more into the conjugate or concurrent method. So the way that I'll structure myself is, first of all, with strongman, there's so much variety, and that plays right into conjugate or concurrent. So I'm not necessarily going to use the same bar, the same lift height. Like, say, for example, if we have a deadlift from the floor, I might train that 1 week, but I might also train 13-inch, 18-inch, rack pull, even higher. depending on what weaknesses I have to work out of that lift. On top of that, too, I don't want to be deadlifting all the time because my body's not going to be able to recover from that. So that's another factor that goes into the programming. So typically, I'll have a really what's called a max effort lower day. I'll have a max effort upper day. And then I'll have two speed days for upper and lower. And I'll sprinkle in events here and there throughout the week. I used to do event training days, but the problem that I had is I know me, and I would go full bore all the time and put myself into the ground probably way earlier than I needed to. So I had to do a little bit of a switch up, and I found that I've been able to recover a little bit more. Two big reasons why I like this style. First of all, on my max effort lower and max effort upper day, I'm going to always pick a primary accessory that complements that. So for example, if I'm doing like a log clean and press as my max effort upper movement, and I'm really having trouble with, let's say, the clean, for example, right after that, I'm going to go into working sets with working just the clean portion, or maybe the clean and the dip, because I'm trying to build that particular skill. I'm not trying to focus on, you know, building a bigger back or anything like that. I'm literally trying to get better at the strongman movement itself. And then, like, if you take something for lower, for example, so if you're doing like a car deadlift in a competition, so let's say you do like a trap bar deadlift because it's side handle, just like a car deadlift would be. So it's not the same thing because the car deadlift moves on a pivot point, but the trap bar deadlift kind of recruits similar muscles. Something that I might do to complement that is I may actually do it from a deficit after that, because if the handle height is actually lower than what the trap bar handle height is, that's going to, you know, get me more prepared for whatever that competition is. Then I'll look at like my speed days, for example. So that's going to be my technique work. So let's say, for example, in said competition, I have a log clean and press coming up. I could, in theory, train another day of log press where I'm training the clean and press from the jump with at a much lighter percentage. And I could add accommodating resistance if I want, or if I want to take it more of the RPE style, like Greg was saying, and let's say I'm not feeling necessarily that great that day, I can take the accommodating resistance off, drop the weight a little bit, and make sure that every bit of my technique from floor to overhead looks precise. Same thing with deadlift, same thing with squat. And I do think strongman athletes should bench as well. I know it's not necessarily a common event, but I think especially when you think about closed grip bench press, when it focuses more on the triceps, that's your lockout strength. Then you look at like incline bench press, which that's going to be a little bit more relatable to log, because when you're doing the log clean and press, you have to actually lean back a little bit in order to get the log across your chest and across like your delts. So as far as event training goes, what I will tend to do is I will wave it. So let's say, for example, on one of my lower or upper days, it doesn't necessarily matter if it's the upper or if or the max effort or if it's the lower intensity one. If one week I went heavy, the next week I maybe go medium, and then the week after that I'm going to go low, and then I'm going to deload. Because I found that, like, at least for me, my body recovers good after doing 3 weeks of loading and then backing off and then restarting the cycle with maybe a new movement. Or if the same movement was working, just keep rolling with that movement. So it's a matter of actually sculpting a program to where you can get a little bit of everything, where it's like you still get that heavy nature, but you also have to keep it light enough so that way you could keep your movement patterns. Because the one thing that I always think about with strongman, especially the moving events, whether it's a yoke, a sandbag, farmer's carry, keg carry, you name it, if you're carrying something at any point, you don't necessarily want to stride. You don't necessarily want to lunge. You want to move with pitter-patter feet. Like, think like the roadrunner. Like Brian always used to use this reference. Think like the roadrunner. You want to move your feet as quickly as possible because that's actually going to give you stability. The longer your stride goes, you might have that implement, if it's a yoke, moving a lot more side to side. And then your sandbag, you might end up looking like you're waddling like a penguin. So those are the little intricacies that you have to pay attention to when you're waving everything. Because realistically, if you're trying to go heavy, 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 then deload, you're not going to get the results that you want on week two or week three. You might be able to get away with it 1 week, maybe 2 weeks, but by the end, you're going to be like, oh, I feel really run down.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I don't have a lot to add to what these guys said, that they went so much into it. And honestly, like, all of us have run 100 different programs over the course of eight of us, you know what I mean? And I would say the biggest thing for me about my programming is managing suck, right? Because whether it be CNS, like if you do a bunch of runs with a super heavy yoke and you try to deadlift 2 days later, you're a kitten. You can't pick a thing up. Like, you literally can't. So you need to manage that. You need to manage, like, if you're doing Atlas stones and you start getting bicep tendonitis, and then you're going to be doing Circus Dembo, you need to figure out how to work around the pain or the injuries or the tweak or whatever's up, because there is no time in a strongman, in a competitive strongman's career, there is no time when they're 100%. Because just the nature of the beast, it all beats you up, and you need to train like a maniac in 1,000 different things. I know people hate it when you say it's like CrossFit for strong people, but like, really, you need to be prepared for such random things, and it changes every single, that's what the best part about it and the worst thing about it. But to say that you need to be prepared for a bunch of things and be really good at it without getting beat up, there's too much overlap, right? You look at something like a deadlift. Like, yes, you need to work your regular deadlift, your conventional deadlift, your 13-inch, your 18-inch, your side handle deadlift. But then every single time that you pick up a farmer's handle, it's a deadlift. Every time that you pick up a sandbag, it's a deadlift. An Atlas stone is a deadlift. So you end up doing a million more reps that you need to account for at some point in time. So a lot of times my lifting, I'm now more of a social media guy than I am a competitive guy. But a lot of my lifting looks like I'm lifting for Instagram, because you're really just working around what you need to work around, and you're doing as best as you possibly can on that thing, and then building the rest of the workout off of it sometimes. So I think at my stage where I'm at now, it's like longevity and trying to do what's best that I possibly can. But when I was training for competitive, it was red line all of the time. As these guys will tell you, like, there's no time when you feel like you're recovering. And even a week off does not feel like a week off. You just feel like you got hit by a truck and you like lay around and feel sorry for yourself for a little bit.
Well, I think
Brian's work capacity is legendary. Now, I've been around the guy going with giant sets and everything. I feel fat and out of shape every time I watch him work out.
Yeah, now, Brian, you should definitely talk about the giant sets a little bit.
Well, I've always trained, like I said, I didn't get into lifting really for muscles. I got into lifting for performance, but I hated going in and like doing a squat and then waiting to do squats again. I'm like, there's so much, I could go do something else before I came back. And then I was like, I could go do two things and then I come back. And so I was like, well, on like a bench press day, I'm going to do a row and then I'm going to bench press and then I'm going to do an ab and then I'll come back and I'm going to start rowing again. You know what I mean? So it just basically, I've always trained in circuits because I always had too much energy to just be like, oh, I'm going to sit around, and I'm not like a jump on my phone guy, and I'm not like a really even talk in workouts too much unless I'm based around talking, you know what I mean? Like when I work, I want to work because that's how I was raised by my dad doing construction. Was like, we don't stop to eat. We don't stop to do that. If you stop, you get tired. If you stop, you get tight. Like, we just drive on. And so from the moment that I start working until it's done, it's just literally I do giant sets. And an average giant set for me on a lower body day will be, I will try to do something explosive to get my hips moving. So let's say a sandbag over shoulder, right? Something lighter that I can actually throw over my shoulder, not just gimp up there. To a deadlift, to some sort of core exercise. And then a lot of times I'll try to throw in some sort of conditioning type of movement. Like, let's say burpees, right? So you would do your deadlifts and immediately drop down and do 5 burpee lateral jumps over the bar, go into some sort of ab exercise. That ab exercise, your recovery, you take 90 seconds, you start again. And what I found is that for everyone across the board is it takes about 2 weeks of adjustment where your body is like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And your strength drops and everything goes. But then eventually, like, it starts to overcome. And then you can keep up with the same weights you could do before, except you get twice as much done in that time. And you wouldn't believe it, but it works. And it's exactly how I've always trained. And it's until now, until I've gotten older, like around 44, I've never really had to care about my calories. I've never had to care about that because the work took care of a lot of that. You know what I mean? Like, I had to eat cleaner at times and things like that. But yeah, I as far as working strength and conditioning and actually having fun in your workout, I highly recommend it. That said, it's tough doing a commercial gym because commercial gyms are commercial gyms. But anyone watching this, if you're in a commercial gym, the number one piece of advice that I can give you for your lifting is get to a real gym. Because literally, when I was in a commercial gym, a dude lifting 500 pounds was seeing a unicorn. It did not exist, right? Like, there was nobody. And if it did, that dude did not look like a dude you wanted to look like, right? Like, so I literally then got on the internet and saw guys at like 150 pounds deadlifting 500 pounds, and my glass ceiling got shattered. And then I got around other lifters like these guys, and we saw what they did. And like, if Jeff moves up 20 pounds on deadlift, I'm like, well, I'm not going to not move up 20 pounds on my deadlift, or I'm not going to let him catch me, or I'm going to go catch Greg, or you know what I mean? Like, you get around real lifters and instantly you get better. You're like, you're the combined top five people that you're around. And that's the same thing with lifting. Like, if you're around a bunch of people who want to get better and want you to get better, and they are high caliber individuals, your game is just going to rise, right? Get out of the commercial gym, find a real gym, drive an hour if you need to, but it's going to change your game entirely.
Yeah, no, I love those points that you guys brought up. And I mean, Brian, your point on the giant sets too made me think back to our past conversation about, you know, making training more accessible and removing barriers. You know, if you're on a time crunch and all you have is 40 minutes in the day to get your training in, make those 40 minutes the most intense and the most difficult as you can to get the most out of it from a results standpoint. You know, it's funny because I feel like anytime I've trained with Greg, we spend about 2 to 3 hours training. And it's a big time investment. And you know, at first I kind of like, I didn't really understand it because I don't come from like a longstanding strongman training background. But I learned very quickly that sometimes you actually need those 5, 6, 7 minute rest periods. And I thought I knew what hard training was. You know, I'd done a lot of crazy stuff when I was in college, like any guy. You know, I feel like every guy goes through a period where we just max our bench every day because we can. And then Greg started telling me about this thing called the strongman low. And he's like, one of these times you're just going to go home and you're just going to eat food and take a nap. And you'll wake up 3 hours later and you'll be like, that's what real training is. And I think there's something to be said about the style of training and the intensity that, as you mentioned, Brian, you know, you're kind of redlining all the time. Like, that's what it takes. It doesn't always feel great, but that's kind of what you all are doing day in and day out. And that's something that I don't think a lot of coaches, PTs, doctors, chiropractors, whoever, I don't think they really understand that. I don't know if it's just from them not competing themselves or them not working with athletes or understanding. Like, sometimes people really want people to be like, practitioners really want the patients and clients we serve to be pain-free, feeling good, and just functioning high all the time. Sometimes that's not the case with strongman. Sometimes things kind of hurt and we have to adapt, or sometimes injuries happen and you're not going to, you know, surgically address that injury, but you're able to keep training and find ways around it.
That is 100% true. I think it's very similar to, I actually work with an MMA guy right now, and we have this conversation daily, and Brian can definitely relate to this because he's been on both sides of it. Greg can relate to it because he was involved in fighting. I'm a teddy bear, so I can't fight anybody, but I have the strongman primal rage, so there we go. But in regards to always feeling like you have something, I think about it like, if I were a practitioner, it's a utopian mindset to think that everything's going to feel perfect. Everything that you're going to do, whether you're the patient or you're on the other end, is going to work. And I don't know if that's necessarily a realistic mindset to have. You know, it's always good to be positive thinking, but you have to be realistic. So especially with strongman, the thing that I think about more than anything else, and especially from somebody who's dealt with injuries, is you have to know how to auto-regulate your training. So that's why, like, these guys can assess to it. Don't get me wrong, percentages are great, but sometimes it's not always there. So for example, like, if you've got like even a 70% day, and you're working up on your warm-ups and it just feels like absolute garbage. You got to punt. You got to call an audible. You got to figure something out on the fly to essentially find a win for the day. And I can tell you, working out with both of these guys, I've found a way to do that many different ways. Whenever I've worked out with Brian, for example, like he would always be a champion of trying to find a win if your main mover is not going well, of trying to find it through either a big movement that's kind of complements that or through your accessory work. Like you can crush your accessory work in record time if you were doing the giant set style. Then it, like from Greg's perspective, like if something's not necessarily feeling good, well, then maybe we should actually, you know, lighten the load a bit, little bit, and see if we can get some good speed on this yoke carry, for example. And I had to bring up yoke because Greg hates yoke. And then I think about it for myself. Like I can tell you, like, especially dealing with the injuries that strongman will bring, whether it's something that is major or something that's small. As you're doing the movement, the worst thing that you can do is to continue to do the exact same thing that got you hurt. And the problem is with, you know, strongman, especially when you're put up against like a 60-second clock, sometimes 30 seconds if you're doing max effort attempts like 1RM deadlifts, the pressure is on. So you hit the fight or flight mode and everybody, almost everybody, will hit the panic button. True skill comes to play is, do you have the patience to take the step back? So if you go into the gym and let's say you slept 5 hours the previous night, instead of getting the 7 to 8 like you should, let's say you didn't necessarily eat as much as you needed to, or you ate like crap, and then you come into the gym the next day and you feel like a slug, you have to call the audible early and you have to be able to recognize it. Now, I'm not going to say that's going to be something that's easier said than done, because it isn't. I mean, you need a lot of experience in order to figure that out, especially it's a lot harder for newer lifters because they're seeing all the beginner gains. But when it comes to something as serious as strongman, if you're going through your warmups and things just feel like absolute crap, just go with a lighter version that day and just take it on the chin. Just be like, I don't have it today. Because if you just keep trying to redline, you've had those injuries before, you might start developing new ones.
Yeah. I mean, from a provider standpoint and from an athlete standpoint, I'm going to say that injuries happen. A lot of athletes, when they're getting ready for a competition, rarely are we ever 100%. Or maybe like at best 95%. There's a couple things that, you know, something nagging came up and we didn't address it, but we got to do it. Now, a lot of times when it comes to injury or just feeling like crap, right? Or feeling great, conversely, both sides of the coin, your preparation is key, right? So if you don't get good recovery, you don't get good sleep, you don't get good nutrition, and if your mindset's not right, chances are the probability is you're not going to have a very good training session, right? If you get 4 hours of sleep and you're, you know, knocking back some 2 for $3.99 McChickens, like, you know, at age 40, it ain't happening that great, right? I did not prepare properly for what it is that I need to do physically, and that can get me in trouble. I think from a provider standpoint, being someone that, you know, has competed in a couple of different ways, I can empathize a lot with athletic population patients, right? Because, I mean, I may not sound like it sometimes, but I know what it's like to train hurt. And I know what a season, you know, like a block, a 10-week block of training, and I don't feel the best, but I'm going to gut through it, right? And if something kind of comes up, I can work around it because, you know, my background, all that. But you need to know that if you get hurt, you don't have to stop lifting. You can still train. You just have to be smart about what you're doing. Now, having said that, training in strongman and strength sports and some of Muay Thai, there comes a time where, you know, is this something that's really painful to the point of injury? Or am I looking for a way out, right? I think training really hard things, no matter what it is, right? Strongman, fighting, running marathons. I'm not running a marathon. Screw that. I'll drive a marathon. But doing really hard things, you know, will improve someone's grit and someone's mental toughness. Now, you can get that to a point where you can kind of make that determination of, okay, I've been there before. This is something that it's like a yellow flag, something that needs to be monitored, but we're not in danger quite yet. And you know your body, you'll know when to be like, hey, I really need to take a step back here and reevaluate my training. That's why deloads are there too. And you can work on other things like speed or endurance or something like that. Typically with Dan, you know, going through the strongman low, those 5, 6, 7 minute, you know, things, I was gearing up for a max deadlift in New York. So my rest times were a little bit bigger to, you know, kind of mirror the competition, you know, parameters. But, you know, the higher your workload, the better you are cardiovascularly, the better your muscular endurance are, the more in shape you are, the less prone you're going to be to injury. Now, having said that, you know, as I've gotten older with two kids, you know, I probably could have taken better care of my body. I'm pretty heavy, but I'm the heaviest, but I'm also the strongest I've ever been. But that doesn't necessarily translate to, you know, doing well in my sport of strongman. There are certain things that I personally need to improve on. And going into nationals 16 weeks from now, I got some weak points that I need to shore up.
I think also as a beginner, like when we talk about percentages and stuff, a lot of things are like hit whatever for amount of reps, like 70% for 5 reps or whatever. When you're earlier in the game, you need those parameters to kind of know, like, that's about where I should be, right? And then you hit a certain maturity of lifting where you're like, on rep 3 of that, and you're like, not today. Not today. Like, today, we're putting it away. You know what I mean? Because you see what the end result is. You've been there before, and it's going to end badly. And that's the only thing I'd add is if you're a beginner and you're like, oh, I don't have it. Like, you don't know you don't have it. You haven't earned the right to say you don't have it yet, right? Like, you got to get it, like, figure it out, find it, right? And then there's, you got to be smart at the same time. And enough, I think age, like you guys talked about, age matters, because if you're pushing when you're 18, you can get away with a lot. When you're pushing when you're 50, it's going to be a little different, you know? But yeah, just being smart, but definitely don't call it in more often than not. Because it becomes easy to become a habit of like, oh, well, you know, I gotta be careful of that shoulder. I got, you know, that becomes easier and easier the more you do it. So,
yeah. And that's something I feel like a lot of people get trapped in, right? Like something starts to hurt or not feel good. And depending on where you go, you're probably going to get told to just stop doing it, right? Like, there's a lot of clinicians I've seen in the past, you know, I'm not going to pick on one discipline in particular, but across the board, I've seen a lot of patients in the past who just get told, yeah, just don't do it anymore. Like, yeah, you know, just give up running, just give up lifting, or, you know, just give up that certain strongman lift. You don't really need to do it that much, right? It's causing you pain, just stop. And it's like, that's not the way forward here. Like, that is not an option in strongman competition. Like, you know, if you're competing, you're not just gonna up and zero one of your events. Like, you're gonna do it. So finding ways to modify and adapt our training, but also modify and adapt how we look at training as healthcare, for lack of a better way to put it, you know, finding ways for us to improve how we go about providing for the strongman population, I think should be something on everyone's radar. And, you know, again, that has applications beyond just strongman, but in general, I've just stopped and think a lot lately that, you know, we could do a lot better for the people in front of us, and just sitting there and telling them to stop doing stuff or not do things just because they hurt a little bit or they're sore or they're achy. I just don't think that's the path. You know, I do agree with Greg's point about, like, yes, it's important to, you know, have someone monitor things, have someone confirm that, you know, it's minor things, not major things that we're starting to feel, but we shouldn't just shy away from people, you know, doing things that are good for them, good for their sport, good for their competition, good for their mental health, just because it's starting to get a little bit pissy, for lack of a better way to put it.
No, that's 100% true. And I can tell you, especially going through the process of getting PT as a patient, like the thing that I enjoy about my physical therapists, Dr. Sarah and Dr. Zach, is they push me. And they know that, you know, I compete in strongman. I mean, obviously, you know, I train people, I coach. and that's, you know, how I'm making my money now. And I need to be able to not only do that, but if I'm not able to compete in strongman, I'm not going to be full. So the biggest thing that I can think of from a patient perspective that ultimately I would want from my provider isn't necessarily no table work. Like I've done cupping, I've done dry needling, Graston. Watching Greg Graston my hamstrings in Coliseum Gym in 2017, it sounded like ice chips just being broken apart. But I will tell you, like, don't get me wrong, I love all of the techniques, and I think they're definitely valuable, and I've seen benefits from it. But for me, I'm thinking, I want something that's practical. I want something that's going to challenge me a little bit. Because just like with training, if there's no struggle, how are we going to be able to find a way to get to progress? Because once you find that struggle, it's like, okay, now we've got something that we can work with here. Now we can find something that can maybe get us over the hump, because this is where your sticking point is. It's just like with lifting. Like, if you're weak off the chest on your bench press, what are you going to do to try and overcome that? The same thing can be said for PT. Like, I can tell you from my own perspective, working with Dr. Zach and Dr. Sarah. So I tore my left brachial radialis in June of 2023 at Strongman Nationals. It's an injury that I'm familiar with because A, I played baseball, but B, also I tore my right one in 2020. So I had a general idea that something was wrong, and Greg gave me an early diagnosis that essentially, you know, something that was wrong with my shoulder, which, you know, definitely tracked. And as I was going through my rehab, I was doing some forearm stuff, working on my wrist mobility, working on my shoulder. But then come to find out, my 20 years of playing baseball also factored into this because I was a pitcher. So as I'm working with Sarah and Zach, and they're loading me up, and I know you love loading the sucker, Dan, because that's the thing. It's like, if you expect somebody to do like a regular bodyweight dead bug and to see progress from that, good luck. Because guess what? They're going to be doing that the rest of their life, and they're not going to see anything different. Maybe get some monkey feet, get a dumbbell, kettlebell, whatever. You got to put a little bit of load, got to put a little challenge on people. But anyway, that brings me to my next point. So I was dealing with, you know, this forearm injury that turned out to be a lot of, you know, I didn't know how to use my serratus properly. I was having a lot of shoulder and rotator cuff issues. Well, once that got pretty much back to normal, like I was able to put strength on, I was able to get similar grip strength on both sides. They're like, so you're a pitcher, right? And I was like, yeah. They're like, let's test your hips out. And then boy, I actually found out how unstable one particular side was versus the other. Because I'm a pitcher, my follow through leg was on my left side. So my stability on that side is absolutely horrible because I'm used to following through with that. And then on the other side, it's perfect. It's not perfect, but it's a heck of a lot better because I was always used to, when I'm pushing off the rubber, using that to stabilize my body as I'm following through. So I think that's another thing that I want from a patient perspective out of my providers is, just because an injury is in one particular spot, I want you to challenge how the whole body moves in unison. So not only are you trying to strengthen the area where you had the injury, you're trying to improve the range of motion and get you back to feeling normal, but also look at the athlete in totality. Like, I think about it from strongman. Like, I'm trying to work synergistically from head to toe at all times. So if something in my shoulder isn't connecting with how my hips are moving, then maybe I better figure out, you know, why that's the case. So push people to do something harder is always my message, because if you expect to go into your PT, to go to your PT and just say, I want to get needled today, and that's it, what are you going to get from that? You might get a couple days of relief. You might get the feeling that you had, you know, needles on you for 2 days, but then you come back next week or maybe later that week, and guess what? You're still in pain. So you're going to have to make a little bit of progress by actually doing movement, doing exercise, loading a little bit of weight. And then the last thing is, think of something practical for what you're doing. So this doesn't necessarily have to be the famous word sports specific movement, but you want to do something that can actually relate to strengthening that injury. So for example, like with my forearm injury, Dr. Zach had me doing a med ball Arnold press. Now, obviously, I'm kind of used to, you know, picking up an odd object because of a circus dumbbell. It's a little bit wider grip handle, and it forces you to actually squeeze it a little bit, which means I'm going to get some wrist stuff. I'm going to get some forearm work. But also with the Arnold, I actually have to rotate it over my head. So I'm working my lockout. And the thing is, if my shoulder stabilizers aren't working with that, then I'm probably going to get the pain right in my forearm. If I'm not actually gripping it, I'm probably going to get the pain in my forearm. And then maybe it leads to bicep, and then it leads to a bigger injury. So keep it practical and keep it heavy.
I can tell you from a patient and athlete and provider perspective, yeah. So you as a provider have to make a decision on how you want to treat an athletic population, right? So it's not just like, Dan, you love ACLs, right? It's not just the ACL, right? It's so many other things, whether it's balance or plyometrics power or stability or all that, right? There are different ways to get to your end goal, but you always have to, you know, take a step back. You have to be a really good generalist before you can be a really good specialist. So if the specialty is playing your given sport, like strongman, for example, right? It would do you well to be really strong and really mobile and, you know, to a certain degree before you start specializing into something. It'll carry over a whole lot well. So if you are getting pain with a very specific movement, take that step back, strengthen the whole body, strengthen the structures around, at least a joint above and a joint below, and then work your way there and then retest. That's how, you know, I would like to have it done as a patient or prospective patient. Passive modalities only work so well. You know, at some point we have to, you know, start strengthening the structures. Injuries occur because the tissue load was too much for what the tissue could handle. So how do we mitigate that? Get the tissue stronger, right? And that's all over.
I just hurt myself a lot. I don't know,
oh my god, that was great.
Play Johnny Cash hurt right now. Yeah.
I'll add one more thing though. Like on top of you know, everything that we just talked about, I think you also have to look at how if you're a provider, and even if you're a patient, like look at yourself and look at how you move on a day-to-day basis. How do you go down and pick something off the floor? Do you actually like just bend over at your back? Do you actually squat down, use your knees, hinge a little bit? Like the everyday life things are also going to add up too. Like I could tell you probably another contributing factor to why I've seen the forearm injuries isn't just sport specific. It's because most of my life in my career has been spent behind a computer. So I'm doing the clicking, the typing, and I'm constantly in that position. You have to think about those other lifestyle factors too. Like not just as a provider, your provider shouldn't be solely responsible for that. You have to think about that as a patient where it's like, all right, am I just, you know, getting strong in the gym and not actually moving well anywhere else? Like, once I'm done, you know, working out really hard at the gym, am I just sitting around all day, not doing anything? Maybe that's why you're starting to develop all these other things. So I think lifestyle factors also have to be considered too. And it's like, you may want to look at how you're sleeping, how you're getting up in the morning, like how you're walking around, how you even go to sit down on a chair. Like that could be something that, you know, you might have to, you know, bend a certain way in order to get there. And it's like, but that's not right. So you also have to take a step back and think about day-to-day life activities too.
Yeah, and you don't need to be a healthcare provider to do that. You can be the strength coach working with an athlete who does that, right? Like,
correct.
To your point, Jeff, right? Like you had a 20-year history playing baseball. Like if I'm a strength coach working with you, I can pretty easily ask you like, hey, what sports did you play before? Oh, you played baseball. Wow, that throwing arm's probably going to be a lot different than the non-throwing arm. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple, you know, in a lot of sports, asymmetries are okay. Baseball is one of them. I want my throwing arm to be different than my non-throwing arm. But I've noticed in strongman, you can't just do everything with one hand or with one leg. You kind of need both to carry the load equally. And I've also noticed, to your points, that it's not really like one muscle worked, right? Like, you know, in the yoke carry, it's not just like, you know, your quads and your calves. With the log clean and press, it's not just like your quads and your shoulders. It's like you work like every muscle in the body all at once. I think Brian mentioned CNS fatigue earlier, and I think that's where it comes in, is like you have to literally have everything firing, have the entire system tense and stable all at the same time. I think that's something that, you know, we, to your point from earlier, Jeff, we often forget, is like, you know, we think the shoulder hurts because it's the shoulder, not because of like, you know, lack of stability at the lower back or something like that. So really taking the time to strengthen and load the entire system, I think is absolutely essential. Look at the entire system. And, you know, off of that too, I think Brian mentioned earlier about, you know, the new person in the strongman, or the, you know, the newbie, for lack of a better way to put it. I mean, if I was coaching someone, and, you know, I'm not doing this in strongman, but if I was, like, I would imagine I'd want some kind of general assessment of what they're coming to me with on day one and what their background is in strength. Because, you know, if they're going to be competing in 6 months and their competition weights are in the 400 or 500s and the heaviest they've ever lifted is like 275, then we have a lot of freaking work to do to get them there. And I guess that's the last thing I really want to hear from you guys about is, you know, say there's someone, you know, new to the strongman world, how do they get into it from a training standpoint? Or how do you recommend going about like starting to kind of build up that base? Because I've seen some people who are kind of like curious about it, but they don't really have any strength base to go off of, you know?
So what I would say is that, let me preface this. Any exercise you do, right, it could be as ugly as sin, but, you know, if you're doing it for general strength, it's okay. You know, like, it's okay to lift ugly. That's fine. Now, if you're lifting for performance, technique matters, okay? There are different ways that you can leak energy in the way that you load something, the way you clean something. If you're doing it for general strengthening or just betterment, you can make that ugly lift, right? Your body will accommodate, it will adjust, and it will get stronger. Now, having said that, if you have not lift, if your strength is like 100 pounds off of an event weight that you got, you know, several months to prepare for, then you need to structure your training in order to, you know, get that gap, right? And then there are different ways to accomplish that. Ugly lifting, it can help, but, you know, you got to really figure out where your weak points are and then address those weak points. When it comes to strongman lifts or events specifically, I would recommend that you find someone that can kind of run you through, or like a strongman crew. So I was very fortunate to get linked up with a pro strongman. He showed me the ways of, you know, the most efficient way, we'll say, of doing certain movements. And then he would work with me on refining where I was from never doing any kind of clean, any kind of load or anything like that. Having that one-on-one attention is great. It's not going to be there for everyone. And that's where the strongman community is really good. Now, you can do that through online assessments, but I'm always a big fan of in-person because you can get immediate feedback. They can kind of see, you know, the person in there can read the room, like, it, you know, how your temperament is, how you're moving, how hard you're breathing, things like that. I would say that you want a certain, you know, amount of time under a bar, certain amount of time strength training before you try strongman, just for your own success sake. That's not to say that newbie gains, newbie lifters can't do it. I would just say that you want to know what, you know, hard training is like before you really kind of be like, okay, I can do this. Like, you need a certain amount of mental toughness if you want to take it seriously, right? If you don't have anyone close by, Brian will tell you this, Jeff will tell you this. I've driven as far as 4 hours one way to get to train with some certain people with certain implements so that I was prepared for my competition. If you don't have anyone close by to you to kind of help guide you, you might have to make that drive. Okay. And that's not a super often thing. It might just be like once a week, or it could be once every 2 weeks. But just someone be like, hey, how does this look? How would you do it based on my body structure and how my leverages are? What do you think the best way to do it? Or just from an availability of equipment standpoint, that's the important. If you want to compete, The accessibility, unfortunately, is not everywhere. Kind of like, you know, CrossFit boxes have popped up a lot of places. There's still a lot. So you might have to make that drive. You can get really good and strong with barbell training, dumbbells and things like that. But if you want to compete, then you might have to make that drive, or you might have to make that time or distance commitment.
I think also, if you go to, if you just look up strongman competitions, right? And you go to one of these shows, like if you have to drive an hour or something and you actually aren't a weirdo and you go talk to people, like you'll be shocked at how many people have like, well, I've got like 10 stones, a log and a yoke in my garage. Like we just need to go do that. Greg trained out of a storage container, right? Yeah. Like, like people, there are spots around if you go and you're willing to speak to people. Like people are like, I looked online, I couldn't find anything. Yeah, because you're not trying hard enough, man. Like there's some dude down the street from you that has a full gym in his basement looking for a training partner. You just need to meet each other, you know? And it's about creating those opportunities. And if you go to a strongman show, you will find out if you just start asking around, like, hey man, where do you train? And you tell them where you're from, I guarantee you, you talk to enough people, there's going to be someone who's like, oh man, there's this guy named Barry who like lives right down the street from you that is looking for people. You know what I mean? Like you can absolutely find that, but you need to find some friends for strongman. Cause sure, you can check out YouTube videos and you do a lot of things, but like you really need somebody to put you through and be like, no, 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 buddy. I know you think you were done doing this medley, right? Like a keg carrying medley or something. And like, you need someone experienced to be like, I know you just threw up and you think that was that you're done, but trust me, we need to do one more thing here. We need to push a little harder here. We need to do that. And you need someone else to control that gas pedal for you at the beginning, because you don't know about things like CNS fatigue. And you're like, I'm just going to do a 3-ton bodyweight yoke and then do max effort deadlift and then do Atlas stones all day long. And then I'm going to show up that, you know, like you need someone to be like, listen, little buckaroo. Like, I know you that you want to, but right now is when we pull back and right now is when we hit the gas pedal. You know what I mean? So I think at the beginning, like, it's great to have instructional videos and stuff, but like, you need to have a crew of guys. And you also need somebody else to pull you aside and be like, hey, man, don't listen to that guy right now. That guy's got different ideas in his head than you have right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it takes a whole family to raise a strongman. And, It's cool. And getting involved in the community, all you need to do is show up at a competition and start talking to people. And if you're not a weirdo, you're going to walk away with some friends that you're going to have for the rest of your life.
100%. I mean, yeah, you can buy all the equipment in the world. You can, you know, travel to all the different gyms, but it's all about the people, man. Like, you need to have somebody that I would equate to as your peer, somebody who's on a similar skill level of you, whether it's somebody who's a total newbie or somebody who's around the same body weight that's miles ahead of you. You need to look at somebody as like an example. It's like, okay, here's where I am. This is where they are. I can get to them. This is within reach. It just may take a little bit longer journey. I also think you should compete or that are either a little bit smaller than you or a little bit bigger than you. Because first of all, you're going to see how they do things a little bit differently, like because of their leverages. Genetics definitely matter. I don't care what anybody says. Doesn't matter if you're on the secret sauce or not. You are going to pick up things a little bit differently if you're built a certain way. Some people have shorter arms. Some people have longer arms. Some people have shorter legs. Other people have longer legs. So they're going to be good and bad at different lifts like that. That's why your crew needs to be a little diverse. Like, I can tell you the best crews that I've ever been around, whether it's at Brian's gym, whether it's anybody I've trained, Greg and I have trained with together, or somebody at my own gym, it's a mixed bag. You're going to have a few really tiny girls, and then you're going to have really gargantuan guys, but they'll all come together over one particular bond just because it's a shared sacrifice. So I think the biggest piece of advice that I can give is, it's going to be intimidating at first. You're going to look at it and just think it's something that's completely insurmountable because it's something that you've never done. But I will tell you, every single person that I've done strongman with, I'm like, see, that wasn't that bad, was it? Because once you actually start to do it 2, 3, 4 times, then it becomes addicting. Then it becomes like a drug. It's just getting over that first initial fear factor that once you slam through the door and kick it down, you're home free. Getting over intimidation is literally anything that any gym newbie or beginner in the strongman has to get over, because you're going to have some struggles. You're going to probably zero an event, or like you were saying, and Greg was saying, like you may be 100 pounds off of a lift. Get your barbell work done during the week and then use the weekend or one training day out of the week that you have to train events to go somewhere, have an experience. And that extra travel is not just good for, you know, the training's sake. It's also good for you mentally, because you're experiencing a completely different culture. You're experiencing a different way of life. And you may also pick up a few training tips that you could add to your own training, because realistically, I think, you know, Brian can say this, Greg can say this, and I know I can say this, and you could say this too, Dan. Our training style and training philosophy was developed from all of the people we've surrounded ourselves with. So get out of the comfort zone and actually talk to people. Like Brian said, just be a person, man.
Yeah, I love those points, and I think that's great advice. And I think it's important, as you all mentioned, to really just take action with it, right? Like, I think a lot of people get so caught up in the planning phase. They sit there and they think about it, and then they try to put together the perfect structure, program, routine. It's like, there's never going to be a perfect program. It's never going to be 100%. Just jump in, get after it, make it happen as you go. And you kind of find yourself along the way, for lack of a better way to put it.
If you feel like you need to be a certain strength level in order to compete, you'll probably never compete, because that bar is always moving. I'd be like, oh, I just need my overhead press to be this. And then there's always going to be something that comes up. If you want to compete, or if you really want something really bad enough, you're going to take that action and do it. So, you know, when people have asked me for their, you know, what should my goals be for my first competition? Three things. Number one, try not to zero an event. Zeros happen. It's happened to me once. It's never fun. Don't get hurt and have a good time, because if you have a good time and it's a positive experience, chances are you'll do it again, right? That's with just about any kind of activity. Zeroing, hey man, it happens. Like, it sucks, but it happens. But then you kind of can ask other people, like, hey, how did you, you know, prepare for this event? How did you get ready? What kind of training did you do? Things like that. And you can get ideas, and you can always get better. Talk to people. It's weird. I know, I'm an introvert. I'm known as the cat guy. That's how people end up talking to me, is because Instagram and cats. But, you know, we'll all end up talking, and I'll always get something from them. They'll, you know, usually get something from me other than cat jokes.
That's amazing. I feel like we covered a lot of ground and a lot of different things relating to strongman, as far as how your training looks, how you got into it, and what things look like from a coaching, healthcare, and overall sports standpoint. Do you guys have any closing thoughts or closing remarks or anything we might have missed today?
I think just go try it. I mean, you're not going to regret it. It's the most fun that you're ever going to have in a gym. If you go and there's a bunch of people over there lifting Atlas stones, go over and go talk to them. Go see if they'll let you try it. And trust me, once you give it a little bit of a chance, as long as you don't hurt yourself and you have some positive people around you, like you're never going to lift the same way again, or at least you're not going to look at lifting the same way, because it changes the game.
I think whether you were a high performance athlete, high school, college, professional, or even if you've never competed in a sport, the sport gives you so much more purpose to what you're doing. I mean, like Brian said, if you're at a commercial gym, find something a little bit more challenging, because anybody can do that. Everybody can step into a gym. Think about how many people purchased the Planet Fitness membership to start the year. And there's nothing wrong with that. I applaud anybody, you know, who's trying to get improvements for their health, physical fitness, whatever. But at the same time, it'll get monotonous. And guess what? Even when you're training something like strongman and powerlifting, when you do something for so long, there are going to be periods of time where, yeah, I'm doing this a lot and it can get boring. But it's through those days when you actually see the progress, when you don't necessarily want to be there, but because it's something that has a little bit of extra spark, it's something to look forward to at the end of the day. And it's something that's completely different from what your day-to-day life is. Highly recommend busting down the door and giving it a shot.
I am never going to have a six pack unless I, you know, drop a lot of weight, and I'm okay with that. But I always wanted to be able to throw for height the people that do have six packs. And Strongman can help you do that. You can get really big, brute strength, strong, manipulating, heavy, dead weight. It's great. Now, Strongman is hard. Like, if you know, if you're on the competitive circuit, Strongman can be very hard. And that's okay. I think that if you find gratification in doing hard things and pushing your body into doing hard things, and then taking a step back and saying, like, hot damn, I just did something really hard that I never thought I could do, then I think Strongman is very beneficial for you. You won't know what you're capable of until you give it a try. And I guarantee you that you will be amazed of what you and your body can actually do in terms of loading, lifting overhead, deadlifting. I mean, I think my favorite event's a car deadlift. It looks cool. I get to lift the rear end of a car. I've carried a car, Fred Flintstoned a car. It is one of the coolest looking things I've ever done. Was I really slow? Yes. Did I place well in that event? Not really, but I carried a car. And I, you know, I'll look back and I'm like, man, that was really cool. The worst thing that you can do is say that, like, it's not for me and I'll never do this. Have an open mind. Worst case scenario, you take a can of Coca-Cola and you lift it over your head because that's so depressing.
I knew where that was going. I've heard it too many times. I knew exactly where it was going.
You know where it was going.
Yeah,
that head fake is real.
That had to be the most Greg ending that could have happened. Amazing. For people who want to find you guys on social media, and Brian, I know you obviously have like a website, booming YouTube channel, and some other amazing programs and stuff for people. Where can they find all of those great things at?
If you just search my name, Brian, Brian, Alsruhe, Alsruhe, you'll find everything that I'm at.
So I'm pretty much the easiest you can reach me at is Instagram. And my handle is Jeff from Insta. And there's a story behind that. And ironically, it's strongman related. And I'll say that really quick. I was at a strongman contest. Greg was there. And this guy comes up to me and he's like, wow, you're Jeff from Instagram. You're really strong. And at that point, I was sold. This is my Instagram name for life. And ironically enough, I'm friends with that guy today because we competed in the same weight class and it was a heck of a lot of fun.
Hi, my name is Greg Innocencio. I'm a Sagittarius. You can find me on probably the easiest way is Instagram at catsandlats.pt. Cats and Lats, because we bring the meows and wows every day in the clinic and on the competition field.
That's amazing. We'll link to all of that in the description below. I got to say, I'm disappointed that none of you still have a MySpace account.
I do. I still have one. You've seen it. I could put you in my top eight, I would.
Really appreciate you guys, your time, your experience, and everything that you've shared with us today. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, man. It was a lot of fun.
True day.